Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
Welcome. I'm Laura.
I am Kim. And together we are
Counselor Accents.
And it's our weekly podcast.
It is our weekly podcast, and I can't help but notice that we're both wearing a cowl neck.
Not planned.
Not planned, just, and we got the hair with the swoop bang.
Going the opposite way.
And going the opposite way. She got a high bun, and I got a low bun, and I will have to tell you, it is because we're in a flood state of an emergency. I heard they put this, we're
in
a state
really?
Of emergency. But that's how much rain is happening, and
it's
that's
crazy.
Why we look like.
And my hair will go back down to normal in March, but until
you
then.
You will see a better looking Laura in March. Until then, this is the February look.
Yeah.
Okay? This is just a February look.
Yeah.
All right. What are we talking about today, Laura?
Well, we are going to talk about classroom management. And the reason why we're going to talk about classroom management is a lot of counselors have not had any training on classroom management. Now, you and I went very different routes
right.
to become school counselors.
Yes.
You went the way of school teacher?
Yes, I did.
I have never taught a day in a classroom in my life.
You went rogue.
I went rogue. I majored in business administration and then thought, you know what?
You know, it'd be fun.
I think to be a school counselor would be fun. So, here I am living
here
the
you
dream.
Are living making the money now. That's what I was like. You know, why would you work at a bank when you could work as a school counselor?
No, yeah. So I had no training in classroom management. And it is one of the most asked questions. What do I do? So
yeah. And not that we have all the answers.
No.
But we want to have a conversation with our sisters and brothers in the counseling world, and that's what we're going to do today. And so one of the things that we know is being prepared. Be prepared.
Yes.
I feel like that's in Lion King. Is it be prepared? It's in a Disney.
I have to be honest with you. I have not ever seen Lion King all the way through.
Well, I think it is, but I could be wrong.
I can't
correct you. Being prepared is the first thing. And what comes to mind when I say be prepared, Laura?
Well, now Lion King.
Okay.
But before that, it was over plan. I always try to make sure when a class comes in that I have everything ready. Copies are made. I have them counted out. I know exactly how many things. I even have things out on the tables. If they're going to, like, with K through 2, I've been using whiteboards,
mm-hmm.
and so I've had them out on the table, so I don't have to take time to pass them out and all that stuff. So,
okay,
they're already out.
So, we know that any downtime is when students are going to act out, cause, you know, behavior issues.
Right.
So,
what's the saying about idle hands?
Are the devil's handiwork?
Well, I think that's proven
Did
true.
Did I just make that up?
I think it's true.
Okay.
In the classroom, idle hands are the devil's handiwork in the classroom.
Okay. I think that's
That was a
saying.
Stretch. Okay.
So we don't want to waste any time. And one of the things is having, like you said, having everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of counselors don't have the luxury. I have a classroom of my very own. And a lot of the counselors that we have talked to in the past are stuck.
They're traveling
with their little, you know, and that makes it harder. I'm going to be honest, because it needs, the aesthetics matter. Are my materials ready? Does this look like an area that we're going to get busy in or while relaxed, or does it look like it's just a chaotic mess?
Yeah.
That sends a message to the students. So when you have your place that you are meeting, all of your things are laid out, you are over-prepared, you are not wasting time, you are going to cut down on so much of your behavior issues.
Very good.
Yeah. So give us another tip of what you do with your, I know you've told me before that you used a stuffed animal in
yes.
helping you with your behavior.
Yeah, this works really well for K through 2. I will carry a little stuffed animal around with me. It doesn't have to be, it's actually a little puppet, a little dog puppet. But when they come into my class, the very first thing I tell them is, this is my little puppy friend, and he is going to be watching for the quietest table. And then I'll make him whisper in my ear, And then I go and put him on a table. And when I say he's looking for the quietest table, it is like they snap to attention. Like all of a sudden they're like, and they just sit there quietly. And so then I go and put him, and I'm going to give you a little trick. I put him at what I know is going to be the trouble table. I put him there first. Two reasons. Number one, it's going to encourage those kids, like beforehand, hey, you know, make them feel like they have achieved something. But then secondly, they may not get a chance after class starts to have him at the table. So then we've already, I try to make him jump to every table.
Yes.
And so we've knocked that one out. So anyway, good. And then, yeah, I'll pick him up. Like if, especially if the kids start talking through the lesson, then I just walk over to the table and I pick him up and make him whisper in my ear again. And I say, now he's saying that this doesn't mean that y'all aren't still being quiet. He just is going to go sit at another quiet table. And then they go, and they came up with this rule on their own. They said, you can't touch the puppet. Every one of my classes says, you can't touch him or he'll lose his magic. So thank you, Elf on the Shelf. But they think they can't
there
touch
you go.
Him.
And I you may have them. Just invented a new product. It's Puppy on the Table. Okay. Not Elf on the Shelf.
But yeah.
Or maybe Puppy on a Shelf.
Or
anything on a shelf.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that because that's practical.
Yeah.
It's something that we know is going to work with the littles.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. You may be thinking, well, I don't have tables. I'm in a classroom. Okay, just move him from desk to desk or person to person if they sit on the floor. Mm-hmm. Just take that and make it your own.
Okay, so a biggie is for students to know what's expected mm-hmm. of them. And that comes with a lot of practice and repetition.
And you have to know what you expect.
Absolutely. You have to know what's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of establish that beforehand because you set the tone. And I know you may be, you know, hearing this later in your school year, but you set the tone for what the rest of the time with you is going to be. So you want to be really careful in setting the tone of and letting them know what is expected of them. I think that's in a regular classroom and it's in for a counselor. When we go into the classroom, when I even go, I have them come to me, but if I go into another teacher's classroom, I don't expect that other teacher to be over the behavior. I'm in charge of the behavior.
Yeah.
And I will start off with my rules, which they know.
Right.
You know, so we go over our rules. Which may be a little bit different than the teacher's rules. But if I go into that classroom, they know this is Miss Crumley's rules, and they know what is expected of them.
Well, you're smart to do that, too, because once you deflect to someone else for...
You lose some credibility.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's important. Mm-hmm. And, like, with my rules, you have yours posted, mm-hmm. so it's a visual for them to see, mm-hmm. which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not posted mine, but I need to.
Yeah.
But I do repeat them every time I get the students, even if I know they can recite them.
Yeah.
I repeat them, and I have four, because I wanted to keep it simple. And I thought, what are the things that are important to me? Number one, please don't talk when I'm talking. Number two, please don't talk when your classmates are talking. And I say this so they'll understand why. I say, everything that you have to say is important. And if you're talking when your classmates are talking, I can't hear everybody, and I want to make sure I hear what you say. And then rule number three, I have art boxes in the center of my table, so I say, please don't touch the art boxes until I tell you to. Otherwise, they're foraging in them like a badger.
Mm-hmm.
And then rule number four is, please don't get out of your seat unless I tell you to. So later in the year, the kids start saying, oh, that's rule number two. You're mm-hmm. violating rule mm-hmm. number two. And they start correcting each other, so I'm not even having to do it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And I have the up rules, look up, sit up, zip up, hand up, listen up. And the kids actually, a kid gets up every time and leads the rules. And so I don't know if we still have the video of my kids doing that.
Probably.
I've seen it. If we find it, we'll add it on here. But they handle the rules. They know the rules after they learn them. So it's kind of a military. It's fun, but it's kind of a military. Sit up. Did you hear me? And if it's a girl, it's yes, ma'am. Repeat it. Sit up. Look up. Did you hear me? Yes, ma'am. Repeat it. Look up. And then when they do the zip up, it's now. So knowing what is expected of them, and I have been a counselor K through 12, and in fact, in the high school setting, the only way I could see all of my students would either be the entire ninth grade or the entire high school.
Whew.
But yet, if you are well planned, and you, especially in the high school, the effort that I would go to make sure that it was going to be engaging, and that if I had a guest speaker, that they were engaging, that everything, that the kids would enjoy it, but and that would follow the same pattern. You know, I've told you before, we followed a pattern in high school of like the Tonight Show,
or
one of the late night shows where we had the band that would be playing, we'd have our guest speaker, which might be somebody from a career thing, and then we engage the students every time.
That's great.
But now, in that situation, I would get support if I'm going to do the entire high school. If I had an entire grade, then, you know, that was a little bit easier to handle, but I'd probably pull one of the grade level teachers. And some of the time, every month, I would meet with all of the girls, and the boys would meet separately because there was two counselors at that school. So I've done every grade, and to me, the hardest grade for discipline is it's never been overwhelming, any of it, but I think middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why with middle school, you really, really have to be ready when you're going in and make sure that it's engaging and that the tail is not wagging the dog.
Yeah.
You know, you're in control and you need to have something in place. If it goes awry and you have a student who is taking charge.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a student that's taking charge, you need to have a plan in place, whatever that is.
So to put you on the spot, what is an example of a plan if you were in that situation?
I have only one time in that I can remember, and I was proactive, and it was with a middle schooler, and I love this child so much, but by the afternoon, her ADHD it's just all out of control. And so I have had to pull advisory groups during that time, and I've been proactive, knowing that I am not going to get anything that I need to get to these students in them. So I've actually placed her with a student that needed help somewhere else.
You gave her a job.
I gave her a job.
Okay.
And I hate to eat, but now this is not a student that I don't see and haven't seen, but if it's in the afternoon, I try to be proactive. But let's just say I have a student that's out of control. You can't let that take up all of your time, because mm-hmm. we don't have the kids that long. So it's never worked. It's never not worked that, you know, you don't want to embarrass them, but like, you know, just, you know, I want you to be able to stay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you may not be able to, and we're, you know. So that's not ever not worked, but it could, you know, it might not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you I use a lot of these.
Oh, yeah.
I use a lot of tickets. And they get one, and I get one. And then I can quietly walk over and get their ticket. And if their ticket is pulled, then they do not get a chance to get in the quiet seat box. The prize box.
Oh,
why am I calling it quiet seat? The prize box. And that is a big deal. And it is nothing but like stuff that I have picked up at McDonald's. You know, I mean, anything. Little books from Chick-fil-A, anything I put in there. People give stuff. I'll just put it in there. And books, you know, everything goes in there. And so it's quite a big box. And so sometimes I do two or three quiet, you know.
And what ages do you use the prize box with?
Through sixth.
Okay.
Yep, through sixth grade. And you'd be surprised. And probably could through eighth, I'm going to be honest with you.
Wow.
I'm serious. I did a lesson with my middle school. Mm-hmm. The Pete the Cat lesson.
Hey, shake the table one more time, why don't you?
You know I will. And this is what I made the middle schoolers wear. you know, I mean, we would take turn, you know, I would put it on. And they love.
For those of you listening, it's a giant pair of glasses.
So, I guess my point is, I know that any age level, we're all at different age levels as counselors, but the main thing is be engaging and be prepared when you're dealing with kids. That is going to take care of so much of your time management. Not a lot of downtime.
Yeah.
Not a lot of in between time.
And let me tell you, when you pulled those tickets out, it is like my anxiety level went through the roof.
I know.
Something you need to know about me is I hate door prizes. If I'm given a ticket somewhere, I will lose that ticket.
I have won, and she always wins. She always,
always
wins. So whoever has her ticket will win, and it doesn't matter if it's a cruise to Hawaii.
I'm not.
Somebody else is
going to
get it because she's not going to get it.
Woo! I don't know what it is, but
right now you're having a panic attack.
I am. Yeah. So when you're in a group and they call out a number and nobody goes to get it, look for me. I may be in the room, just like not going to get the prize.
Get her ticket because she will win.
So
you do so many practical things. So table signs. Tell me what you do with your table signs.
Okay. I ordered these cute little table signs off of Amazon, and I'll try to link them for you just in case you want to know what I get. But I just put them there. I think they're like wedding things that you would get at a wedding. But I put the sign on the table, and this helps for two reasons. Number one, when you have 300 plus students, you may not know everybody's name, even though I like to think that I do.
Right.
You may not. So I don't want to run the risk of calling somebody by the wrong name if they're talking. So I have a table sign, and whatever we're talking about that day, like when we did our let's talk about the counselor lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I called one the nacho table, one the guacamole table. So then if that table is being too loud, I'm not calling a student out and singling them out saying, hey, you need to be quiet. I'm just saying, hey, my guacamole table needs to lower their voices just a little bit.
Yes.
And so it's a good way to control the classroom without singling them out.
That is such a great idea. It sounds like the kids would love that name.
Oh, they love the creative names that you're coming up with. And usually our lessons have a theme. We're big on puns.
Yes, we are.
So I get very punny with my table
names. And they're funny. Your punnies are funny.
I'm a funny punny.
So another thing, when you said that, my classroom, the students come in, and because I have this open floor, I have mats that they sit on, like little rugs that they each have their own individual rugs. And I don't know if you could post that on
Amazon. And in fact, you can go to our blog and read about her zones.
Yeah.
And the seating zone was one of them, or you called it something else. But we talked about the carpet squares and how wonderful they are for you.
They are. That gives them their space. That's where you're going to sit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Harry Wong,
mm-hmm.
This is how long this has been going on, his discipline.
What? I'm scared.
To be scared.
Oh,
anyway,
boy.
He has a three-step approach to teaching classroom procedures. One is explain, model. And I think I got that seriously since I was 21 years old. You know I'm 180. I have his book of these, and I pull that out every year. Demonstrate for students. Demonstrate what you want them to do. And if they come into my classroom, but at the very beginning of the year, they come in, and we go back out, we come back in, we go back out, until they're coming in the way I want them to come in. And I've demonstrated, I've modeled it, I've explained it, we've rehearsed it, we've practiced it. It's habit now. So my students do not have, they don't have to wonder about what to do when they get to Ms. Crumley's room. It is a habit that they have well established. So that doesn't take up time.
Talk about how you, like if you're doing a turn and talk, Talk about how you teach them and how you practice that.
Yes, huge. So, if we do a lot of group discussions, and because sometimes I will have 40 kids, you know, at one time, and we go over, this is the voice that I want you to use. You think that's picking up on the microphone? This is the voice. And so we practice, just practice that. And then I give them, we practice, this is my signal for stop.
She raises her hand if
you're
listening.
I'm raising my hand. I forget.
I know.
And so they'll whisper a little bit. I raise my hand. We're practicing until, okay, now go. And they like that. And they understand. Yeah. You know, this is what is expected. I think that teachers and counselors would cut down on so much discipline if they would just use that. This explain mm-hmm. what it is and why we're doing this. It's important, and this is how we're going to do it.
Well, and something else you said reminded me of in our conscious discipline training that our school just went through. One of the speakers said, there is a difference between be quiet and be silent. And the students need to know what you expect. If you want them to cease talking altogether, then you better use the word silent, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because be quiet, they could whisper or they could talk softly, and you're wanting silence, or the teacher's wanting silence, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and they're going to get mad. The teacher's going to get mad if they're still talking.
Yes.
So if you want it to be a silent classroom, say, okay, silent classroom or whatever.
Yes. And so this is the same with teachers, and it's a tip that as a counselor, we deal with other teachers' behavior issues,
right.
because that kind of falls in our realm of why this behavior is this way, so, or what we're doing. What is that classroom? What is the management? What is the management system?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a management system? So not only do teachers need a management system, but we need a clear management system.
We do.
So, okay, let's go into our picks.
Let me back you up.
Oh!
There are two things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Number one is when we were going over our rules, and I do mine at the beginning of every lesson, and something I do is I am proactive from the mm-hmm. start, mm-hmm. and I say, guys, I'm just reviewing these so that we will know what the rules are, and I go ahead and say, I want to thank you right now for how perfect y'all are being, and I just kind of thank them in advance, and it sort of sets the stage and makes them think, oh,
yes.
We're doing good. And then they want to keep that level.
Yes.
And sometimes when I'm walking around, I'll be like, I cannot wait to tell your teacher how perfect you're being. Sometimes I even get out my video, my phone, and I say, okay, I'm going to video how good y'all are being. Even if they're not being good, that sort of gets them in the gear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I say, I'm going to video how good y'all are being because your teacher is going to be so proud.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's just that being proactive and almost just kind of speaking it like it is. And then
speak it into being.
Yes.
And how many of the classes are your absolute favorite? I mean, I will tell a class.
Oh, yeah.
You literally are my favorite class.
But do not tell anybody because I will deny it all the time.
Like my dad did until my sister and I were grown and we talked about it. We realized, he told you that too?
That's funny because I really am my mom's favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, the second thing I want to do is I want to talk about when I take them back to their class. Because when I first started, I felt like they were running willy-nilly all over the hallway. Or it was hard to keep them in a line. So I do two things now. The first, with the younger ones, I'll tell them, okay, don't tell me with your mouth, but show me with your fingers what grade do you want to trick people into thinking you're in. When we're walking down the hall, and they'll always say, fifth grade, except they show me with their hand. And I always just pick second grade. So I'll say, okay, I see a two. We're going to pretend like we're in second grade. So how do you think second graders walk in the hall? And they snap to attention with their finger on their lips, and I say, okay, that's perfect. And so then I'll tell somebody in the line that usually could be a troublemaker, I'll say, okay, you are in charge of keeping account of how many people we trick in the hallway. And then if I see a teacher, I'll be like, hey, call them second graders or something like that. And so then that little person's thrilled saying, hey, that's one. So anyway, and I'll take them back and I'll say, here's your second grade class. And they just think it's the funniest thing. They're like, we tricked her. You know, it was my idea. And then when I have second grade, I always tell them, hey, when I have kindergarten, they always want to try to trick people into thinking they're second graders. And I said, so I'll ask them, how do you think second graders walk? And I said, what do you think they say? And then the second grade snaps to attention. And I say, that's exactly right. So then I tell them, I need you to do two things for me. First, I need you to walk like the kindergartners think that you walk, because I don't want them to be disappointed if they see you and you're running all over the place. And so then they're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. And then the second thing I ask them to do, I say, if you ever see me taking kindergarten or first grade back, I need you to tell me, oh my goodness, your second graders are being so good. I said, you will make their day and they will lose their marbles. And they're like, we'll do it, we'll do it. And they get so excited. Then with my older students, sometimes I'll tell them that I'm going to be the leader and they have to follow me. Now this goes over great, but I may walk like in a zigzag line, and I tell them they have to do what I do. They can't say anything extra. If I'm talking, they can talk.
That keeps them focused on what you're doing. And
So I'll walk. I may walk backwards for a minute or two. I may, or a second or two. And then, yeah, they have to watch what we're doing.
That is so cool. And those are great ideas, and I'm going to start using some of those because I think the kids would love that too. It's a lot of fun for the kids.
It is fun.
Those extra little touches.
Yeah.
Now can we get
let's go.
Or do you want to keep talking?
Now you can go. Don't rush me. Now you can go.
Okay. So, my pick of the day is an object lesson. I bought these glasses for, like, I think I got 50 of them for like $15 or something. For an object lesson, we did a lesson on,
I can see it your way.
I can see it your way.
Yeah.
So this was an object lesson that where the kids put the glasses on and we talked about seeing clearly. And we talked about, you know, we think we can see everything, but we have these little bars that keep us from seeing completely clearly. And when other people, we're looking at other people and we think that we know them or see them, but yet there are those things that we may not be aware of that mm-hmm. we need to be careful and be empathetic toward the things that people may be going through.
Very good.
Kind of like walking your shoes or
empathy,
seeing through my eyes. So it was an empathy lesson. But these were great, and they absolutely loved wearing these glasses.
Good.
So that's my pick. Great little object lesson. And I don't know what else I can use these for, but I am sure
There's going to be more things. My pick of the week is something that I used to hate, but now I love it. And that is, and I know it sounds simple, but it's a flip book. And I cannot tell you, I was nearly in tears. Kim made this and sent it to me, and I couldn't figure out how to print it. I couldn't figure it out. But I made it, and I used
it. And you still printed it wrong the first time, but we're getting it.
Yeah. But I use this with our behavior small group. This flipbook, or just flipbooks in general, are the best thing for small groups.
They are wonderful.
Because every activity, it was actually a six-week small
and it
group.
Was on behaviors.
It was on behaviors. Mm-hmm. And so each week, I don't have to print more activities. They're right here. I kept them in a folder in a binder. And so each week I just pulled them out.
Yes, it's great.
It's wonderful. I cannot thank you enough for creating a flipbook.
Okay, you're so welcome.
Changing me.
Well, for small groups, because we used to have a notebook for each child.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything is in the book. Everything that we need is here.
It's right there. If you have not made a flipbook and found a love for flipbooks,
everything we need is here.
There is a learning curve in putting it together, I'm going to be honest. But once I got it.
And then you see, oh, that was so easy.
Yeah.
So this was really a good one. Yeah, okay, good pick.
Now
your cat pick.
My cat pick is us. It's how I feel we are. Everywhere we go, we are into something. We just, I don't know.
And we end up looking like.
I mean, I cannot think of a better descriptor than us. Are you the one turned around backwards or the one looking like, what?
You've got to explain it to those who can't see what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It is two cats that are, you know, those, it's a window, but it has paper behind it. So
yes.
It's like a paper window. One of the cats is stuck in backwards, and the other is between two window panes and looking like, what? What's going on? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so we've broke through the window pane. We're stuck, and we got body parts hanging out. That's us. So I don't know if this is us, but I know which one I would be. I'd be the one saying, I wish you'd wear a bra.
Okay. This is inappropriate. This
is the stinking funniest. It is like this mad, hairless cat. And I'm not kidding you. This, if you could put a bra on a cat, this one would need it. And the other cat's looking and going, I wish you'd wear a bra. Have we not said that before to other people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have. So anyway, that was my cat pick my sister sent to me.
So we've done our
fat laugh.
We've done our pick of the week. We've done our cat pick of the week. And I don't think we need to do a tip, tool, or technique because this whole thing was...
We have tipped enough today.
We've tooled
We're tipsy and, with tips. Can I say that?
I don't know if you can.
Okay.
Okay. Join our Facebook group if you haven't already. It is a place just to share things like this. And so if you have questions, it is a safe place to ask those questions. Go find us on Instagram. Tag us in some things that you're doing because we would love to see and get new ideas. And you could be the listener of the week.
I know. What is that?
You'll get a ticket for a door prize. Anything else we need to tell him?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, bye.